Forecast for today, a mixture of clouds and sun. We'll have a high in the low 70s. Second Racine Mayoral Forum ahead of the special primary election a week from today. Going to be occurring from 6 until 8 o'clock this evening inside the Cesar Chavez Community Center at Douglas Park. It is being presented by the Racine branch of the NAACP in conjunction with the Racine Public Library and other community organizations. The primary, September the 19th, will trim the list of the six candidates down to the final two for the general election on October 17th. The winner taking office November 7th, filling out the rest of John Dickert's term. The first community forum was held this past Saturday at the YMCA George Bray Neighborhood Center. Racine Unified School Board, facing the reality of potential state intervention of local operations, approving a revised employee handbook, though not a unanimous vote. Some wonder if lawmakers might take that as being a negative. After hearing about changes based on discussions with the employee groups, things like benefits, retirement, dress code, and whistleblower language, Board President Bob Witke used the phrase timeline of urgency in recommending acceptance of the handbook.
My appetite for risk with this district is zero. I want to take no risk whatsoever with all 19,500 kids that we have and ensure that we meet the first challenge, the first step, which is to get the OSPP mandates deferred for at least 1 year.
Julie McKenna noted state budget language focused in on the district's Board of Adjustments. She also praised that group for all its work in recent years.
I know that going forward, we can't put that in there because of the threat that we're the change of language that the Joint Finance Committee wants to impose on Racine Unified School District alone. It doesn't even touch the other school districts. They have other languages, and if you read their handbooks, they maybe say things in the same way, and the outcome is the same, but they might say it in a different way to get the same outcome.
Board Member Mike Frontier said this is about trust.
It's not a perfect handbook we have here, but the key is the process, and that's why I voted to delay the action last month. I believe we've taken the first step here. It's not a perfect world, but we need to act on this for a variety of reasons. We need to put this to bed and embrace this process and make it work.
The final vote ending up 7-2, Julia McKenna and John Heckenlively against the handbook as revised due to additional language they felt should be removed. Question now is whether the handbook will pass muster with the State Department of Administration. Tonight, the Racine County Board has another closed-door meeting at 5:30 p.m. on the agenda that calls for competitive economic development business opportunities in the village of Mount Pleasant. That means it's related to Foxconn, and as usual, the board will adjourn afterward without comment. The Summers Village Board is meeting at 5:30. It's an on-the-road kind of meeting at Hawthorne Hollow on Green Bay Road. Agenda items to include a final response from the State Railroad Commissioner about the Highway E bike path crossing the Union Pacific tracks. Burlington's Plan Commission has a 6:30 p.m. meeting. That agenda includes a revocation hearing on the conditional use permit granted to motorsport sales on Milwaukee Avenue. This after the matter was tabled last December, allowing for a six-month compliance period regarding vehicles on the property. Kenosha County District Attorney's Office alleging Racine Drug and Alcohol Counselor Corey Hargrove, who owns Harvest Consulting Company, sexually assaulted, strangled, and held a woman against her will September 3rd at a Sheridan Road motel in Summers. The 47-year-old Hargrove, though, maintains it was consensual sex, according to the criminal complaint, which is charging him with second-degree sexual assault, false imprisonment, strangulation, suffocation, and disorderly conduct. He also reportedly told investigators that the woman is a prostitute and he's being falsely accused. His preliminary hearing is Thursday in Kenosha. And a bacterial infection outbreak in Wisconsin and six other states is linked to puppies sold at Petland, the nationwide pet store chain, where there is an outlet on the southwest side of Racine. The CDC says at least 39 people have contracted a common infection, which causes fevers and diarrhea. Now, most people recover without problem, but the elderly and anybody with a weakened immune system is more vulnerable to serious symptoms. A company spokesperson says they have a warranty to protect people from possible illnesses. The CDC, meanwhile, recommending you wash your hands after touching dogs, their surroundings, and their food. Racine's Public Works and Services Committee meeting at 6:30 tonight at City Hall. Among the agenda items to be considered, another streetlight restoration request on Westwood Circle and or Maria Street by Jeff and Melissa Peterson. The group had talked about creation of a plan that meets today's standards versus a few years ago when hundreds of lights were removed. Also, four requested preliminary resolutions for the paving of alleys, two of them in Aldermanic District 3, the others in District 9. An incident last month at a Mount Pleasant Village board meeting resulting last night in a vote to censure Village President Dave DeGroot, who refused to allow frequent critic Kelly Gallagher at that meeting to speak unless she apologized for an incident at a previous board meeting in which she reportedly mouthed an obscenity in response to comments made by DeGroot. Last night, DeGroot, apologizing for his actions at that August 28th gathering, said it would not happen again.
2 weeks ago, I did not show the civility that I ask of others in this chamber. My comments were inconsistent with the decorum expected at board meetings and with my own values. It was unacceptable. I offer a sincere apology to the citizens of Mount Pleasant. As village president, I hold myself to a high standard, and I did not live up to that standard on August 28th.
Trustee Gary Feast, insisting he was not acting out of anger or malice, made the motion to censure, saying that nothing criminal happened, but proper procedure was not followed by DeGroot.
There's no real tooth behind this. There's no fines. There's no term. But what it is it's a statement saying that we as a village board body who are part of this process feel that that process was egregiously ignored.
Some 24 citizens addressed the board last night on the issue. Former Wisp Park president Jerry Frankie said that Mount Pleasant is looking at the biggest prize he has ever seen, a reference to Foxconn, indicating that this kind of stuff has to stop.
I would also say that we can't stand the prospect of 3-3 votes going forward on critical issues. A village board is not an exclusive club at which somebody gets chosen to be based upon single-issue politics. I beg you, appoint a seventh board member as soon as you can so that we can move forward without the prospect of tie votes.
The board voting 3-2 to censure DeGroot, trustees Haven and Hewitt voting against it. DeGroot, of course, could not vote. Racine's Public Safety and Licensing Committee meeting at 5:30 this evening at City Hall. On the agenda, the Class B liquor license renewal application for the Riverside Inn on Northwestern Avenue. That is where the owner-operator was given time to bring that facility up to required compliance with city code, but also the chance to seek license renewal. Meetings about it in June and July resulted in deferrals. Also on the agenda, proposed ordinance amendments regarding hawkers and peddlers, fire prevention and protection, fireworks, and nuisance properties. The Racine Police Department played a role in a federal human trafficking investigation a couple of years ago. WRJN's Janet Hoff says it has now resulted in a conviction in federal court.
In January of 2015, Racine Police partnered with the FBI's Human Trafficking Task Force in an investigation into the activities of Jabari Williams, originally contacted for a welfare check on a missing person. The person was located using social media and internet websites, and the investigation into human trafficking was initiated. Over the course of the next few months, several other human trafficking victims were identified. Williams was arrested in July of 2015. Evidence was presented during his trial that Williams used force, fraud, and coercion to make his female victims engage in prostitution in a number of states, including Illinois, Minnesota, Indiana, Georgia, Ohio, and Pennsylvania. According to a news release, Williams made sure his rules that his victims give him all the money they were paid and not contact police were followed by severely beating them if they disobeyed. Williams was convicted on 18 counts and is scheduled to be sentenced in December by a U.S. District Judge. Janet Hoff, WRJN News.
The Racine Common Council will have an open committee of the whole session tomorrow night at 6:15. The sole focus is going to be on Machinery Row and what's next. The agenda calling for City Administrator Jim Palahniuk to present an update on where the project stands, the status of the previous development agreement with Rodney Blackwell's Limited Liability Corporation, also requested approval for action that relates to future development on the site. Gorman and Company took over as the developer, but the status of the historic tax credits from the state, whether those can be secured, that continues to be a question. Alderman and Racine will be finding out more tomorrow night about the Machinery Row site. Meanwhile, the same developer on that project is involved in one in Kenosha, a downtown project at the old Elks Club building, known as the Heritage House of late. They want to turn it into a boutique hotel. Gorman's Wisconsin Market President is Ted Matcom. He tells the Kenosha News everything right now is on schedule and within budget for this project. Part of it involves a new building on the site where a large hole has recently been created to pour the needed concrete. Gorman is projecting completion of that project by the end of next year. School start and end times in Racine Unified. Back for discussion, potentially a board decision in about a month, though administration explains it's a very complicated process. Chief Academic Officer Rosalie Daca pointing out parameters and said that no matter what we do, these are the things that we have to follow, among other things mentioning a three-tiered and straight-line busing system.
More straight-line busing, again, that's what Dr. Hawes said, to kind of shorten the rides and to make it a little bit more manageable versus going down all these side streets and everything. We can make it more efficient.
She noted a common start end time by grade band would require some additional time at the end of the school day.
We met with a representative from Durham the other day, and they believe very easily help us once we decide what we want it to look like. They can fit in the private and parochials working collaboratively with those schools as well and have enough time, if we're doing this early, that they can make sure that their needs are met as best as possible.
Daca explaining how trying to get all three of the grade levels on a coordinated schedule would work if the day ended around 5 p.m., which really isn't realistic. Board member Matt Hanser facetiously stating, "I don't like the facts." He also spoke from experience about the high school start times being difficult for him.
Because I'm so concerned about the performance of our high schools. I mean, they're in the crosshairs of performance issues as it is. And I understand the goal is to say we put an intervention block in, which may help. That may be the mitigating factor that pushes me over. I'm not willing to die on this hill, because if it's what's in the best interest of the district, we need to do it.
The board told to be ready for some in-depth discussion at the October 2nd work session and a decision on October the 16th. Goals with changing the start times, aside from uniformity, would include allowing better teacher plan time, eliminating early release, also allowing a 1.5-mile walking range instead of the current 2 miles. Well, the Racine Unified School District also now has a new way to help parents and students and members of the community stay connected with the schools, a free mobile app. Users can see school and district calendars, find out contact information in the directory, look at lunch menus, engage through social media, and a whole lot more. Also, notifications can be received about a school or district emergencies, things like closures, delays, or cancellations. Search Racine Unified in the Apple App Store or on Google Play and download the app. Kenosha County is going to be using an $8,000 grant from the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service to help launch the first phase of a prairie restoration plan at Katy Park on the west end of the county. Now, the work actually began last week with the spraying of an herbicide to eradicate non-native grasses in the area. Restoration of this 12 acres will include planting 30 species of native plants, providing a safe habitat for local birds and insects, also, according to the release, providing a recreational and educational environment for the community. Should take about 3 years for visitors to see the real results of this effort. The project developed through a partnership between Carthage College and the Kenosha County Parks Division. And take note that the Cooking Channel's Cheap Eats show is going to be putting the spotlight tomorrow night on Milwaukee with an episode to air at 9 p.m. called Brewtown Food Town. I'm Tom Carco, WRJN News.